Come, let's start and note that we need to quickly take care of business. Do we have any apologies? Tombi? Do we have any apologies?
Comrade Space is writing her LLM, and I'm sure we all wish her well, so she can't be here. Comrade Mbili will be a bit late because he's attending this thing of staff of interviews here. And other people have complained about transport, so apparently there's a big accident somewhere.
All right. Can we welcome? We just started. Can we start with the report back? We'll start with Comrade Roy so that Chilwane can get her breath.
Okay, thank you very much. Our group one, has received 132 reports. 132 reports have been tabled, of which we have processed now 108. 10 reports have not been tabled, including, I stand to be corrected, transport, which is a fairly important one. I believe that there has been an explanation for the late tabling of that report as required by parliamentary rules, but we still have not received the Department of Transport report. Of the 108 so far we've processed, we wish to, if there's time, call in 22 entities, departments and entities for hearings, where we believe they need to explain some very, very serious shortcomings in both governance in those entities and in the financial statements. Last time I reported, we had done 105 reports. Now I say we've done 108. The other three we've done are AXA, Airports Company of South Africa. It's an unqualified report, but there's very, very serious emphases on matter in that report. And so we are recommending that they come in for a hearing. We then also did Mintec. Nothing too serious about that report. We have some questions which we are busy preparing on Mintec. We then also did the Mine Health and Safety Council, the MHSC. MHSC gets a very clean bill of health when it comes to financial statements, but there are very serious governance issues. If you look at the report, here it is. If you look at the report, the AG lists about 18 governance categories. I think they have failed on every one. And so there was a debate in our group yesterday as to whether we should call them in or not. But because the financial statements are more or less okay, except I think for 86,000 rand fraud, we felt this time, no, let's ask questions and then perhaps reserve our judgment as to whether later on we want to call them in. But we were very concerned about governance issues with regard to the Mine Health and Safety Council. Those then are the three additional reports. Our group has gone one step further. We've taken those entities with an absolute clean bill of health. And there I must single out the CSIR. I reported last time. Really, if you want to rekindle your pride in what our country is doing in terms of research, and go look at the CSIR report. Wonderful report. It is the only entity we've dealt with out of combining both groups. The only entity out of 34 entities that has gotten absolutely clean bill of health. So we were almost tempted to even call them in to say, A, well done. B, how do you do it? But we haven't. We haven't done that. But we have prepared a standard resolution for CSIR, and we have prepared standard resolutions for the other 15 that have got a few questions, but nothing serious. I don't know if you want me to read the list. I don't know if you want me to read the list of all 16 where we have prepared resolutions, And I don't know if you want me to read a copy of the draft resolution we are proposing.
The 15, are they part of what you reported on last week?
Yes, they are. And we've also, I think we have circulated to members. I think all members have this little report, which lists those 16, and then the 16 proposed resolutions.
The standard resolution, you don't have to read it. If the 16 are part of what you reported on last week, it is very fine.
So finally, our group is fairly satisfied. We're on course. I also reported last time that COPE, are they here today? Is COPE here? Again, COPE is absent. COPE is letting our side down. We've had to take the work allocated to COPE and redistribute it among members, and that has held us back. Without that, I think we would have finished all our work. And I did report last time that COPE are letting us down, and what is this? Does this committee intend doing about that? Our group has not yet received a reply, Chair, about what action you are taking about parties that don't attend meetings and don't do the work allocated. Thank you.
Right. Is there any question, or can we move to group two? Say that the issue around COPE, I had committed that I will take it up with the chief whip, because you'll recall that Honorable Ramatlakane was brought in as a standing person. I think he attended your first group meeting and was given the report that you allocated to the permanent member. So we'll take it up with the party to find out exactly and to impress on the on the situation at hand. Otherwise, I think, you have done well. Yes.
We could have started with introductions to know who is with the committee today, so that when we discuss our reports, we know that the people who are with us have come for whatever, which we don't know right now. I'm sorry, but I feel we have to talk about it.
Advocate Jenkins, the legal advisor of Parliament. But then I don't know who. Yeah, I wanted to do it systematically and say the gentleman over there is from National Treasure. Otherwise, if the media and the monitoring group, parliamentary monitoring group, so there are no visitors as such. Comrade Chilwan?
Thank you, Chair. We have 10 reports again from the one that we reported about them last week. We have a Municipal Demarcation Board has an unqualified opinion. We've got no concern as the group. Therefore, we don't recommend any hearing because the report is clean. The expenditure that they've spent is 96.8%. The second one is Film and Publication Board with a budget of 83,519 million. It's a qualified report. We've got concerns. It's 33.5 million. Their concerns is the concerns that we have as a group is that the property, plant and equipment and assets register are included in the property, plant and equipment balance as of 31st March, but it is still in use as of now. Also, the initial cost of the finance list was not accurately calculated. There were also omission of disclosure of irregular expenditure amounting to 1.2 million. The third one is the purchase on the recommendation. We recommend that we have a hearing for this entity. That is film and publication costs. The third one is the Independent Electoral Commission, the IEC, with a budget of over 1 billion. It's unqualified opinion with emphasis of matters and emphasis of matters. The concerns that we have is the irregular expenditure of 86,874.60. The concerns of the irregular expenditures, that checks were written without the approval from the Treasury. They didn't get the approval from Treasury to when they returned this check, which has added up to 36 million. Also, they are computerized financial and administrative systems. They've changed them without the approval of the Treasury. There's also an amount of 2,403 which was used for item not used in business operation. There's also no compliance with the PSMA and National Treasury regulations. So we also recommend for a hearing for the IEC. The fourth one is the Compensation Commission for Occupational Diseases. The opinion of the AG is an adverse with a budget of over 1.3 billion. Some of the concerns that we found as a group is that this entity was unable to account for debtors. Their system were inadequate. They didn't complete their levy of income and their interest that accrued. There's also no monitoring of benefit certificate issued to potential claimants. There's non-compliance with legislative regarding adding interest on the benefit payments. The audit committee is not functional and their internal controls are weak. There's also no strategic plan that was prepared for to monitor their approved performance. So we really say that we need a hearing for this entity. The fifth one is South African Medical Research Council. It's a qualified report. One of the other concerns that we have found to raise is their asset register, which they have found something that they've written off some of their equipment without approval of the executing authority. Their asset register also is not up to date. Senior officials were absent during the audit. Their internal controls are also inadequate. And their annual financial statements were submitted 4 days after the deadline. Number six is Council for Medical Scheme. The opinion is unqualified with matters. One of the other concerns that we have is that their financial statements were not prepared on the basis of accounting principles as determined by the National Treasury. But we have decided that we don't have a hearing for this entity. We send written questions. Number seven is Palama. with a budget of 140.1 million. The opinion of the AG is unqualified with other matters. Concerns which we have raised as a group is there's a non-compliance with their human management plan, which is not up to date. The special audit on gender mainstreaming project conducted in 2008 and 2009 is required by the Canadian donor. Let me just mention that the other on the 140 million of their budget, the other budget that they have is 34 million that is a donor funding. So the when we say that we've got a concern on the special audit on the agenda mainstreaming, it's because they couldn't account on the funding which they've been funded by the donors. And that all not all the donor funds were utilized. So they've had a rollover or a surplus of 16.6 million without the permission of their donors. We recommend a hearing for them so that they can able to explain some of the things. One of the main reason is that their HR plan, they've got a vacant post of 45%. So we just thought that we need a hearing for this entity. Number eight is Salga. Salga, they've got with a budget of 139,429,000. The AG's opinion is a disclaimer. Some of the concerns that we have, there are no access to records of the KwaZulu-Natal Provincial Office of SALGA. Their property, plant, and equipment carrying the value of 5.114 has been appropriated by the KwaZulu-Natal Office. The AG was unable to ascertain whether any addition has been effected to land and buildings. There's also a provision for a doubtful debt amounting to 14.6 million, which was recognized relating to the amount due for individual municipalities within the KwaZulu-Natal province. There's also irregular expenditure amounting to 4.8 million, which was incurred as a result of non-compliance with supply chain management policies. And fruitless and wasteful expenditure amounting to 289,139 as a result of interest and penalties due to late payments. We recommend a hearing for SALGA. It falls in a category of A. Number eight is a Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. The AG's opinion is a qualified. The concerns that we have as a group is that in terms of the TFMA and Treasury regulations, the department didn't maintain a full proper record of its capital assets. The accuracy and valuation of the current year adjustment prior to year balances to the value of 1.4 million and disposal to the value of 1.2 million computer equipment, furniture and other equipment machinery could not be verified. The AG could not determine the existence and accuracy and valuation of capital assets to the total estimated value of 4.4 million due to the absence of supporting documentation. We recommend a hearing for this department. Number 10 is the Public Service and Administration with a budget of 420.
I think that one, you remember, it was accidentally reported by Steele earlier. Yes, we have resolved on it already.
Chair, I think these are the editions of the reports that we have as Group 2. Members will ask if there's something that I've omitted. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. Not an omission, just a small correction. Our convener said with regards to the Palama report that we were looking at problems of accounting for foreign funds. The problem is not that the entity has not accounted for their foreign funds. The problem is that they don't have the capacity to spend their foreign donor funds. So I wouldn't like anybody in this room to record that they had a problem accounting for it. That is not what the AG has identified. It's the capacity to spend it.
Well, in accounting terms, you're right, but in simple English, I think she meant exactly what you're explaining. Yeah, I think that's why she raised the issue of capacity, the 45% vacancy rate. Right, can we move on? There are no additions or subtractions to a report. Yes, Comrade.
Chair, my apologies because I've arrived late, so some of the members have just handed me in 4 additional reports. I don't know if I could report.
No, Comrade. you can, in line with our agreement, yes, that is.
Thank you, Chair. The reports that we have, these are the 4. The first one is the Refugee Relief Fund with a budget of 480,000. The AG's opinion is unqualified. The concerns that we have is the report is clean. Financial statements were prepared in accordance with the statement of the generally accepted accounting practice. Therefore, in the category, it falls in category C. We don't recommend a hearing for this entity. We don't also need to send questions because it's a clean report of the Refugee Report Fund. It's a very small budget, but we know that it's our work to look after, even if the last sense of it. The second one is the Social Relief Fund with a budget of 20.8 million. The AG's opinion is unqualified. It's a clean report. Financial statement has been prepared in accordance with the statement of the generally accepted accounting practice. In terms of the category, it's category C. We don't recommend any hearing. Other observation, there's no emphasis of matter reported by the AG. It's a clean report without fruitless, no irregular expenditure. The third one is High School Foreign Tour Disaster Fund with a budget of 149,000. It's unqualified. There are no concerns arising from the AG's report. It's clean report. Other financial statements have been prepared according to the statement of generally accepted accounting practice. It falls in the category C. We don't recommend a hearing for this entity. We're not sending questions also to the entity. The third one is the Department of Social Development Services. Social Development. It's unqualified with matters, with other matters, opinion. The key concerns on the emphasis of the matters, the dual accountability between SASSA and the Department of Social Development, the relationship results in the action of SASSA impacting on the audit report of Social Development Department regarding matters on grant expenditure, the social relief of distressed grants, and the social assistance of grant of debtors. These are the other matters which have been raised by the AG. In terms of the financial statements and other notes, amendments were made to financial statements. Annual report was not submitted for consideration prior to tabling of the AG's report. Accounting officials were available throughout the audit process. The audit committee, the department has an audit committee that operates in accordance with the approved written terms of reference. In terms of the category, it falls with C. We recommend a hearing for this department. Other observations, due to the dual accountability of the relationship which exists between Social Development Department and SASSA over grants, the department should appear before the committee together with SASSA. That's one of the main the other reasons that would warrant us to call them for a hearing. There's also an irregular expenditure of 64. Oh, yes, it's another, the fifth one. This is SASSA now. Yes. With a budget of 4.6 billion. In terms of the AG's opinion, it's an unqualified report with emphasis of matter. The reasons or the concerns that would warrant us to maybe to discuss this report is that there's an exemption from having to prepare the financial statement in accordance with the South African Statements of Generally Accepted Accounting Practice. The approval for 2008 and 9 year only in 2009 and 10 financial year don't have a further exemption will be considered. In terms of the concern, there's also an irregular expenditure of 64,304,64 million, which was incurred as a proper tender process, which has not been followed properly. There's an amount of 69.7 million, which included irregular expenditure from the previous year and condoned during the financial year. Other matters, their asset register could not be verified by the AG. Therefore, it was not updated as they were moving some of the equipment from one location to the next one. Their asset also was not described correctly in the asset register. Therefore, it means it was not updated. Some assets were also duplicated in the asset register. The audit committee is in operation. It has fulfilled its responsibility for the year. In terms of category, they fall in category C. We recommend a hearing for this department on the reasons that there is an irregular expenditure of 64 million and also the asset register, which is not updated. I think that's all, Chair. Thank you. thank you very much for the opportunity.
Thank you very much. That was the report from Group 2, showing how it must be done. We want to thank you very much. Right, let's move to consideration for the program. There is a draft copy of the program for next year.
Chairperson, I'm sorry I came in late. I didn't realize Mr. Ainsley was finished. I just received one report now. And just looking at this, I think I want to suggest a hearing.
Mr. Singh is out of order. He cannot make that decision on his own. We haven't seen the report. We don't know what report he's referring to. Let's take to the group. But right. Thank you very much for your keenness. Get on with the work.
All right. Via the group. what report is that?
Pension fund
adjudicator.
Oh, okay. No, it's fine. You'll take it via the group. There is a proposed program for hearing. The first one being Correctional Services and the SIU on the 27th of January, and then the following week Department of Defense and DINEL, and that other week Sports and Recreation as well as Boxing South Africa. On a Tuesday, on a Wednesday, Department of Labor and the Compensation Fund going down just like that. We've tried to put a department and an entity, and that if this week it's Group 1, the following week it should at least be Group 2, or if we can help it, have one from Group 1, the other one from Group 2, so that there is no work of any group that lags behind. Can we live with that? Hosh.
Thanks, Chairperson. I don't have a problem with that suggestion, but my concern is looking at the proposed program. It overlooks the outstanding work that we still have to do. I don't see it accommodating groups, you know, to finish what remains behind. That's my major concern, Chairperson.
A very legitimate concern. I suppose you are noting that, Tombi. Yes?
Yeah, my concern is similar to that, Chair. I don't know how many Tuesdays and Wednesdays from January to the end of March are actually left over. But for example, we have the material that has now been circulated relative to the arms deal, which we need to come back and re-examine. And we haven't got that planned for at all. And I would be very unhappy if we left that until after the end of March next year. So I think our program needs to accommodate those kinds of things that we know are still waiting with us that we need to slot in. So either we've got to find more days or we've got to stretch the program.
Right. I think Hosh's suggestion would seek to accommodate that. It was an oversight. I think when we were discussing this yesterday, our main focus was how do we find more time for the hearings that we had already agreed upon. But yes, Commissioner.
Did I hear Mr. Steele correctly? Arms deal.
Yes.
Oh, is there new information on that?
Yes.
Have we been given that new information?
Yes.
Oh, have we? Is that new information? Oh, okay.
No. That will determine that in a meeting, whether there is anything new or not, and then. But I think those concerns will be accommodated. Right. Now let's move to item number 5, consideration of draft resolution, the N2 gateway. I suppose we all have copies of the report, and we are going to do the normal, usual thing, going page by page, paragraph by paragraph, until we come to the end. I want to emphasize that issues of spelling, it is always, well, not that we should leave learning spelling mistakes, but administratively, after we have agreed on the resolution, it is there's a process internally that takes care of that. Right, on page one, background, I suppose that should be pretty straightforward. A report of the committee, that should also be pretty straightforward. Number one, enabling police and legislation on page one.
Okay.
The
Chairperson, on report of the committee, we've got here a standing committee, public account, blah, 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 head of department, accounting officers, the following departments and entities: National Department of Human Settlement, Provincial Department of Human Settlement, which provincial department, I think we've got to say. And then we've got Municipal Manager of the City of Cape Town. I don't think that entity is known as the Municipal Manager of the City of Cape Town. So we've got to be consistent in the way we put down the nomenclatures of these entities.
Just make a suggestion. The first one is clear, Western Cape Provincial Department.
Is it called Department of Human Settlement? I don't know.
No.
I don't think it's called that in the province. Nationally, it's called the Department of Human Settlement. Am I right on that? Human Settlement.
Mints.
And then the next one will be the Western Cape Provincial Department of Housing. I don't know what it's called, housing and whatever.
And it's called local government in housing.
So then we have that. And then the next one won't be municipal manager. It'll be the entity is the City of Cape Town.
The city of Cape Town, full stop. Remove the metropolitan. Okay. Right, let's go to number one. Yes.
No, just a small suggestion. Throughout, we say that the Auditor General raised specific concerns. I think it's more accurate to say he made a finding. Concern is quite general. He doesn't say, I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that. He actually says, this happened, that happened. So I would prefer, Chair, if throughout, and I won't go to war over it if people don't agree with me, but I would suggest throughout we rather say the AG made the following findings, because he's emphatic. It's not a concern, it's an actual finding. This happened, that happened. Mr. Steele is nodding, he's another English teacher. If he approves, I feel I'm on safer ground.
The Auditor General made the following findings. Okay. Honorable Steele, are you in agreement? All right. Right, I was saying on page one, enabling legislation, I think this is what the Auditor General said. So unless if it has been wrongly quoted, there should be no quarrel with that. On page two, the recommendation.
Again, it may not be that serious, but the AG finds that the steering committee established was no longer meeting. Then in our hearings and documentation given to us, we've since learnt that yes, the steering committee has been re-established and is meeting. And I'm wondering if we should not recognise that fact between the paragraph dealing with the AG's findings and our recommendations, and say something to the effect that the committee notes that the steering committee has been re-established with representation from all the three spheres of government.
Let's do this comment. I think that's helpful. What I wanted us to do is that the finding stands, but then in our recommendation, we recognize the aspect that you are raising.
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
You want to talk to that?
That's right.
And then I'll come back to you, comrade, with a specific formulation. Yes,
Chairperson, my understanding is the findings of the Auditor General are based on the time when the audit was done. So we can't be adding the things that were done after the audit. So we've got to keep it to based on that time when audit was done. Otherwise, many other corrections might have been done after, and then they would be now sort of cancelling the report that we have. So if we could concentrate on the time of audit.
I'm saying that at the level of the finding will remain as stated. But now when we make our recommendation, we cannot ignore the fact that at the time of the hearing, there was some movement that was done. So in terms of the finding of the AG, we'll leave it as it is, because that's what he found. But at the point of the hearing, if there was information that suggested movement, we must recognize it in our So can I then ask Corporate Roy to give us that construction, because then it affects point C in the recommendation in terms of how it should be formulated in such a way that it gives recognition to the fact that there's a movement.
No, I agree with your ruling, and I want to remind the Honourable Member that while our resolutions are based, the core of our resolutions obviously are based on the Auditor General's report, the core. But we have interactions after that report. We have hearings, we have documentation, and we have to take into account events which occurred, which we heard of, which evidence was given after the AG's report. So I want to agree with your hearing, your ruling.
What is your suggestion?
Maybe, I don't know, you ambushed me here. The committee, the committee recommends that, you see, you're going to have to put a note in. You're going to have to note that the steering committee has been re-established. And that was my suggestion, that between the AG's findings and our recommendations, we simply say the committee notes that the steering committee has been re-established with representation from all sides of the government, and then in C, you say, the National Department of Human Settlements monitors the functioning of the steering committee. You see, if you try and put the noting in the recommendations, it becomes very unwordy. So that is why I would like, just before our recommendations, to note this new information, then in the recommendation refer to it as I've suggested.
No, that's fine. I'm hearing you.
Want to create a dialogue between myself and Honourable Member presenting here. But when did SCOPA meet the committee? When did the committee tell us that now they have reinstated this committee and it's working? Maybe it could have been in one SCOPA meeting that I did not attend. So I never remember getting any report. We need to really get that one clear.
No, please. No, wait. During the hearing, there was an indication that there has been an agreement and a commitment from the city of Cape Town to become part and parcel of the steering committee. So that came out during the hearing. So what it's suggesting is that in our resolution, we need to acknowledge the fact that in as much as the Auditor General in his report. In his report, found that the steering committee was not working. But by the time they came to the hearing, they reported that, yes, it was not working at that time, but we have since resuscitated it. So our resolution cannot be in such a way that it does not acknowledge that there has been some movement. I think that's the suggestion that is being made, to add that element. I think we've done that with the police in some of the issues that
Chairperson, thank you very much. You know, I understand what you say. Unless we put it clear here, so that a person who's coming to read this next year and when we are not there, will be able to understand to say that, okay, the Auditor General did find it. But when there was a public hearing, those people came there and they clarified the committee that, okay, while they understand that the Auditor General discovered that the standing committee was no more there, we came back to them and we told them during the public hearing that we are now stable and working. I think that should be clarified with that fine English here for Eastern College.
I think that's what we're trying to do. Maybe what should have done that should have been to get the construction and then say, does it convey the proper message? One, which is that when the Auditor General did the audit, the steering committee was not working as a fact, which the departments don't dispute. But then also note, I think from what Mangena said, the committee, however, knows that during the hearing, the department indicated that the steering committee has been resuscitated. So in your recommendation, you are now saying the department must ensure that it functions, it does its job, this and this and this. So it does not take away the findings of the AG, but it also acknowledges what was said to us here. Let me check with
yeah, Chairperson, thank you. I just want to make an in-principle point here before we go into the detail. And the point is this, that if you look at the report of the Auditor General, all reports, it's got headings, it's got subheadings. Okay? And firstly, I want to suggest that we follow that when we're doing our report. Now, if you look at page 5 of the report, your subheading is enabling legislation and policies. And the Auditor General has made a report under that. But what is in this report here doesn't relate to enabling legislation and policies. It relates to the next subheading, compliance with roles and responsibilities. Now, if you want me to go a bit further, now look at the first one that's in this report. Enabling legislation and policies. Okay? Look at page 5, the findings. What's written on page 5 by the Auditor General has got nothing to do with enabling legislation and policies. In fact, what's written on page 6 under compliance with roles and responsibilities is what is written there. So there's something wrong here in the way this report has been structured. It's left out completely.
Yeah, no. It's a minor thing that we can and should correct. And you're right. Let's change that heading to compliance with roles and responsibilities. Right in the heading, and then we'll need to have a heading that deals with enabling legislation. Oh yes, it's not comfort. Yes, I fully agree with you, and then we're happy that you are always here to look at these minor points. Now, but then let's go back to the substance of what we discussed, because then we just changed the heading, but the substance remains. Yeah.
May I just say that it is pointless if we have hearings and we ask for further written recommendation and we don't take these things into account when we do our resolutions. And yes, at the hearing, it was communicated to us, the steering committee was now meeting. In addition to that, in written communication, yeah, which we all have, all members have, dated the 6th of August, there it is on page 6 of that written report, from these three spheres of government, the steering committee has been re-established with representation from all three spheres of government. We must take these things into account. We can't ignore them. Otherwise, why ask for more documentation? Otherwise, why ask for hearings?
Thank you, Chair. I think the way through the problem is that each of these sections starts with the Auditor General made the following findings. What we found in the committee cannot go under a section that begins with the Auditor General made the following findings.
Agreed.
So we need to have, after that, a sentence which begins either note well or note, the committee at the hearing established, and then the point that Honourable Ainsley has made.
That's what I suggest.
But it cannot be under the same subheading as the Auditor General made the findings, we need to include it as the committee established during the hearing. Note well.
I think we're agreed on the general approach. Is there anyone who disagrees fundamentally? If not, I just want to say, if we agree that this is what we're going to do, then the question of how it is constructed, I think, still can assist.
It's not about disagree. I thought we should establish a principle, taking into consideration facts that have been raised by members here, to say we would then have one finding, but before recommendation, then we have noting, then we elaborate on the things that we, you know, it had in between. The AG report and our own hearing before we arrive at the recommendation. That's what I wanted to talk.
I think we agreed on that. Honorable Detroit?
Yes, on page 2 of our draft, there's A and B, A, B and C on the committee recommends. I just have a few concerns there on A. The committee recommends that the project conforms to the prescriptions of national acts and policies. Now, the way I see it is a project that has been completed is water under the bridge. We can't make it to conform now. It's only the remainder of the project that can conform to the prescriptions of national acts and policies in housing. That's the one observation I want to make.
Just before we make the other one, do we understand what it's saying? What it's saying is that A says the project conforms. The point it's making is that the houses that have been built, they are built, not under the bridge. Maybe what we need to say is that the remainder of the project, which means you are talking to whatever may still be built, because what has been built already. So you can't say it must conform to A, B, C, D, and A is already completed.
Okay.
Yes, just a minute. No, I
wanted
to respond to that. Yes.
Unless we're saying where maybe the construction has not followed certain policies, there must not be correction. But if there is a need for correction, the proposal would stand. Where construction could not follow procedures and houses has got to be demolished and rebuilt, then it is conforming with established policies of building health, unless there's no correction. But if indeed there's going to be material alteration of the house in order to ensure that it meets the requirement, then I think the resolution is fine.
Okay,
on C, I'm just jumping one at the moment. On C, it says that the National Department of Human Settlements should ensure the steering committee and functions properly and that all role players are represented and duly attend and participate in the committee meeting. Now, my observation here is it's unclear how the National Department of Human Settlements would be able to enforce compliance by all stakeholders. We're talking about different levels of government here. The same can be said of the steering committee. How can one role player ensure that the other role players within this steering committee are represented, duly attend and participate in the meetings of the committee? So we need to maybe reword that ensure story.
I thought you would come with a suggestion.
I'm pointing out why I think the draft is wrong.
No, I agree with you, you're right. I was just saying take it a step further and say this is what I suggest. Alright, so instead of should ensure, we say they should monitor that the National Steering Committee, okay. Because if they say ensure, it means they have the power to enforce.
Okay, on B.
Okay, just a minute. You want to talk to
I think we are confusing things here. You see, the National Department of Human Settlements deals with development of houses. And the provinces and the municipalities are facilitating that process to ensure that people get houses. They give funds to the province. The province will further give the funds to a municipality as a developer. So they have got a responsibility to ensure that. I think we can't say they must monitor. They have got a duty, a legal duty, to ensure that the funds are spent in accordance with the decisions of Parliament and the Executive.
All right, can we use ensure and monitor together? Because it's correct. If the National Department has to give money, it cannot give money in a vacuum. But at the same time, it should monitor that the advocate.
Chairman,
just a minute. I hope we were interpreting it correctly.
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
Chairman, I just want to, before I go to B, I want to comment on this one, is that previously we've heard in the hearings that we had that officials said that they had instructions, political instructions basically. They said they used the words it was non-negotiable, the time frame was planned. Now if you have here three levels of government and it is two different parties and you get a political instruction, how do you handle that?
I would want to really zoom in on the issue. I think here we're talking about the official doing administrative work. The issue of political instruction, that's what happened in the past. The resolution is talking about what should happen from now going forward. So those elements, the Director General from National and the Director General in the province, they don't talk politics, they talk administration. So I don't see that being a problem. But if that's a problem, they'll solve it themselves, not us. Right?
Okay, sorry, I need to go back to what the Honourable Singh mentioned just so that we can get this recorded for the purposes of the meeting. And I'd like to propose that before we come to compliance with roles and responsibilities, that we take the section enabling legislation, paragraph 6.1.1 and 6.1.2, and insert them into our report. I think that was what the Honourable Singh was referring to, and I just want to get it on record that those are the paragraphs that we are referring to, 6.1.1 and 6.1.2. It's on pages 5 and 6. Of the AG's report.
Let's do this. Let's continue with the report, and in between, some of us let's think specific recommendations, because I would not want us to merely extrapolate what the AG has written, and we just make it our recommendation, even if we can take it. But we need to go a little further. So in the meantime, yes, it is those two paragraphs. At the end, we'll come back to them so that we should say this is what we have decided upon. Page 5 and page 6. 6.1.1 and 6.1.2. Right, can we...
Yes, on B, it speaks about the current MOU should be reviewed to clarify the roles and responsibilities of all stakeholders. I would suggest that we add the reviewed Memorandum of Understanding should be subject to and conform to current acts and policies. Because we're just saying to clarify the roles and responsibilities of stakeholders, but doesn't speak to the acts and the policies. So I think we maybe should take that into account as well.
Yeah, I think Honourable Detroit, that will not be really necessary, because the finding of the AG is about lack of clarity. So all we're saying is there should be clarity. So clarity, we expect that should be in conformity with laws that are applicable and all that, without us taking it down to the level. All right, can we go to two, planning? On page, well, the pages are not numbered, but that's page two. Those are the, we said they are findings, isn't it? Mm-hmm. The findings of the AG. So the AG makes the following findings. Yeah. And unless it's wrongly written, but it's what the AG. So let's go to page three and look at the recommendations. Yes, Robert.
Now, again, before that, I don't know if we don't have to have another note, because if you look at the, well, if you listen to the hearing and you look at the documentation we received since the hearing, the business plan has in fact been approved since the AG reported. So we may want a paragraph again interspersed between the AG and our recommendations, which says something like, the committee notes that the business plan was approved by the Director General on 10th of April 2008. But that is a bit of information we received at the hearing and in the written documentation after the AG's report. We may or may not want to make such a note. I suggest we do, just to say, bring it up to date.
Right. Honorable thing.
Zanella just tells me that AG should be AGSA in future. That's what, AGSA, or as a general for Africa. That's how they like to be known. AXA, not AXA. And when we list the findings, do we deliberately omit some of the findings for whatever reason? Or do we just hone in on, how do we go about listing the findings?
Why? What's the basis of that question?
The basis of the question is, if you look at planning under the Auditor General, you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 findings. And here you've got 3. Now, who chooses which findings you put down? Do we weight the findings of the Auditor General? Or do we put everything that the Auditor General says in the report? It's a principled question.
I also noted that. And maybe, I don't know, if we want to write down every single finding of the AG, I don't know. Do we not record, Chair, the key findings? Because you see, you've got the AG's report, then you have the hearing. Then you have written documentation. And then maybe the findings the AG made are then put in a new context. And so one then lists surely the major findings, the key findings. I don't know.
Thanks, Chairperson. I think when we received the AG's report, we still believe that we need to be clarified by some of the content by the entity responsible. And then upon the hearing, some of the issues get clarified. And as such, we find no reason for us to carry them towards, you know, our final, you know, finding.
Chair, yes. The point here is that each of these bullets are on a separate issue. But the two additional issues in the AG's findings, B is the identification and securing of sufficient land. That is not mentioned in these three findings. This is about the business plan, it's about the beneficiaries, and the third one is also about the beneficiaries. But nothing is about sufficient land. That is an important additional point which I believe should be there, even if it's just the first line. The identification and securing of sufficient land was not finalized prior to the construction. The second point is also about a different and additional important topic. Geotechnical surveys indicated the true seriousness of the soil's problems were not completed prior to the commencement. So again, if we have just a one line, then it needs to note those two findings.
I agree with the point made about land. It's very important. And so I would suggest that under the AG's findings, we actually say that. We say the identification. So the heading is the AG made the following key findings, or whatever, point, 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 and we add the identification and securing of sufficient land was not finalized prior to the construction of the project. I think it's what you say. And then we take that further, and in our recommendations, am I jumping the gun? In our recommendations, we say we add a point that the committee recommends that the three spheres of government ensure that sufficient land is secured as a matter of priority.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I think we should not leave out any points on findings from the Auditor General, because that would mean that we're filtering information, and it would mean that we are taking a subjective stance on what is important and not. I think rather have a page longer on the report, but I don't think we should take the point of leaving any of those out as a matter of principle.
All right. No, look, I think what is important is what we as a committee want to do. We are not going to reproduce the whole report of the Auditor General. Actually, I want to suggest that the issue of the land and geotechnical surveys can be condensed together into one sentence, and we have one recommendation, because they all relate to things that were supposed to be done prior to construction. And your recommendation wants to say this kind of thing should not happen again. You don't start construction before you have sufficient land and having. So I don't think that is why we have to discuss the draft report, so that if we feel there are areas of deficiency, we raise them and reach agreement on them. I don't think it's a crisis. But the issue that Comrade Roy raised around the business plan, I think it should follow the same route as the initial one around yes, of noting, so that it is not because neither a recommendation nor a finding of the AG, but it merely says in the course of the hearing, these are the things that have come out. Yeah. Right. Number three, appointment of previous project manager.
Yes. Can I then suggest that if we're going to include those two points about the securing of sufficient land and the geotechnical surveys, I support your idea of putting them as one bullet point in the findings. Then we need a recommendation that relates to that point, and the recommendation should be something like proper planning relating to the investigation of land and geotechnical issues must be completed prior to the commencement of the project.
Right? Right. No, he'll make it better. Just write it down and give it a second. Well, what it's saying is that prior to construction, they should ensure that sufficient land is secured and the geotechnical surveys are done. Alright. number three, Sin?
Yeah, Chair, before we go on to three, appointment of previous project manager. Before we go on to that heading, there is a whole section here reported by the Auditor General on the time frame and affordability on page 10, where we know that this project was done in haste or required to be done in haste within 6 months or so. And the Auditor General indicated that the time frame was really not reasonable for a project with 22,000 units to be completed. Okay? Now that's a subheading, time frame and affordability. It talks about the legal claims, it talks about the, you know, the design, etc., etc. Now, that's completely omitted from our report. And this is why I made a point in the beginning. Do we go according to the headings that have been listed by the Auditor General? I have been told that, well, certain sections will be condensed, and I have no problem with that. But we can't omit very, very important findings and make recommendations on those findings by the Auditor General. Unless I missed something when I was not at meetings. Thanks.
All right. No, Honorable Singh, I don't think there's anyone who can dispute the point you're raising. And once again, I repeat, that's why we sit and discuss a draft. Right? The draft so that where there are holes, we're able to identify them and tighten the resolution to our satisfaction. So I don't see that as a substantive challenge. It needs to be added in the resolution. Right?
Can I make a general suggestion that in future draft resolutions go to the management committee to look at and to tighten up, to fill in gaps, so that when they come here, we don't spend hours and hours looking at grammar and underlinings and headings, and those minor basic things are actually done. And then we can focus on the substantive issues. So I want to make that general suggestion that up until now, we have the drafters, who they are, I'm not sure, I think it's people. We have the drafters, and then the next we deal with it is the plenary. I want to say the management committee can at least look at the grammar and the heading to avoid us having long discussions on those issues here, and here we focus on the real issues.
All right. No, that's good. Resolutions always emanate from the group. But these were our first resolutions, and it would not have been prudent to have thrown them to the group before they even started. So beyond these two resolutions, any resolutions that come to the committee would have been dealt with at the group level. And all this grey and green stuff would have been sorted out at that point. So the reason why doing all this is because it is coming here and has not been processed anywhere else before. So I just wanted to say no, there is a mechanism of dealing.
And I also want to say, for those of us who do not belong to management, if the report comes here and we feel that there are issues that are left out, even if the management has looked into it, we'd still talk.
No. You know, SCOPA is the most democratic of committees here. Management is purely an administrative reference point. So the ultimate decisions are taken here and nowhere else. That's why even the groups bring recommendations, and it is the totality of us who make those decisions. So,
Mr. Chairman,
I want us to move forward, unless if you're talking to what he has raised. But I've said, but we have agreed on what he has raised.
But the point is, we've agreed that the time frame and affordable section must be put in. But as far as I can remember, I don't think we deliberated about that very much, did we? Because we're going to draft something now on a resolution, and when are we going to do it now?
I would have been happy if you had made a suggestion, Honorable Stewart. Because whatever we do here, it's what we decide. So you can make an input in terms of what and how you want to see us do things.
Well, we use the word here administrators, and the administrators are pointed out as the only scapegoats. That's why I see it at this point.
I thought you were talking to what Singh had raised. Now we you want to make a suggestion on the omitted point.
Right.
Okay.
Chair, yes. The points, the time frame and affordability section and the funding section that follow, with all due respect to the Office of the ATSA, there is a measure of redundancy and repetition in these findings. It's not that they're not important, but they do rather repeat the same ideas, that there were basic problems with the planning, the funding, that kind of issue. And these points reinforce that. I would suggest that the findings under time frame and affordability and funding we can take from the report, but that our recommendations essentially can be condensed to the following two paragraphs. 6.4.2a and 6.5.2a. 6.4.2a regarding the time frames, we can change the wording, but essentially it says in future sufficient time should be budgeted for the completion of projects. Okay? And the second one under funding, the main recommendation is 6.5.2a, funding should be secured prior to project implementation. And I think if we put those 2 points in, they summarize all of these concerns, and then we have a finding and a recommendation relating to the time frame and the funding.
Right, are we together on that one? Right. Right.
Can I just say that there are so many, again, alterations to this draft that I would like to see another copy before we finalize it. So we are not going to be, we cannot finalize this thing today.
Let's go to point number 3 in the draft resolution. The appointment of a previous project manager. The AGSA, this is the new style now.
You know, in some part of this report that we are talking about, the AGSA, you can look at the outside man. Talking about it, that one will do it when they are starting to say AGSA themselves. Why are we trading?
Oh, okay. All right, no, that's fine. But the point I wanted to make was the Auditor General of South Africa made the following finding. That's correct. Right, and then there are those findings that are there. Right? And then let's go to the next page that talks to the recommendation. Honorable Chulan.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I've got a proposal here that recommendation A, we're saying that when you read the second sentence, compliance to, I think we should say compliance of applicable legislation. Yes,
two is wrong.
And all right. So I agree with you that two should be changed. What I was trying to take from those that are knowledgeable is whether we say compliance of or with or compliance.
Compliance to applicable legislation. Comply with compliance to.
Comply with something or with a certain legislation of. Legislation of what?
Can I suggest that I agree with her proposal and all other proposals that we avoid necessarily focusing on typographical and linguistic corrections? Some speak American English, others speak British, other South African English, other Canadian. Maybe let's just say the arbitrators have noted this, they will reformulate it in accordance with the proposal.
Yeah. All right. See? Chair, I want to agree with the Honorable Advocate, provided that the way you reformulate it doesn't alter the text and the context of what is there. For example, if you look at bullet point 2 on page
under the following concerns. I mean, the way this is drafted here in the report alters the context of what the Auditor General actually said, and I want to suggest we take it directly from the Auditor General's report.
Which part are you talking to?
On the same thing, appointment of project manager.
The bullet point findings two, from the Auditor General.
The following concerns under that heading. The findings.
Yes.
You see the Supply Chain Management Committee, that sentence.
Which
bullet point two.
Bullet point two, yeah.
Yeah. I think we should just take that sentence directly from the Auditor General's report, because it makes sense, it gives you the context. Here we try and alter the words, but it goes out of context. So my recommendation
is... Is there anything substantively wrong with that point?
Yes. Read it and see if it makes sense.
Okay, all right. Okay. All right. No, wait. Please. I think all that Honorable Singh is saying is that to avoid a situation where our reformulation waters down the findings of the AG, let's try and speak as much as possible. Without saying that we can't reformulate, as long as we keep the essence. I think that's the point. But anyway, let's go back to the recommendation. Just a minute. Yes, Chulwan?
Chair, the second suggestion that I wanted to make is that if you look at point number C and D, we're talking about the city of Cape Town through its and number D, it also talk about the city. But Chair, when I'm trying to recollect my memory during the hearing, when we talk about this forensic audit report, it was not a public document. It's something that just came up and we couldn't have quoted anything from it because it was not yet published, and it's still a document that is a forensic audit that was substituted by the city of Cape Town. Therefore, Chair, I'll suggest into my suggestion that we remove point C and D. Yes, we remove C and D. I'll come up with a proposal so that we remain with point bullet number one and bullet number two.
Right, Honorable
Steele? Yeah, I haven't applied my mind to the proposal to remove C or D yet, Chair, but I want to introduce a little political element onto the previous page, I'm afraid, with reference to a party that at least two members of this room previously belonged to. We cannot have reference to the PFP when in fact it is the RFP in the third bullet point on the previous page. It should be RFP, the request for proposal, not the PFP, which was a good and noble party, as I say, that at least two of us members.
Well. Okay. Can we? Yes.
If you look at the project manager appointment, they've got six bullets there. And then we've got A, B, C, and D on the recommendation. Now, on this matter of clarity and putting things together and putting things in context, which Honorable Singh also mentioned, wouldn't it be better that we mark the bullets in the same way as we mark the recommendations? And if we do put, say we've got bullet 1, 2, 3 or bullet A, B, C, and if we do in a recommendation respond to those bullets, then we could say, bullet A and B, or A and B together and give it, so that we're not leaving anything out, because now what I'm doing is I'm jumping from the back to the front, from the front to the back, to see if everything is in context and not being left out. You see, so if we look at sometimes, we know that through the hearing, something comes out that's not been raised by the Auditor General. Is it not correct? It's correct. So then we make a recommendation of something that came out of the hearing, which has not been mentioned by the Auditor General. So I would just say, for the structure of people not being through the process like us, reading it afterwards, our fellow members, the public, the press, everybody, that we should work on a bit more clear way around this. So then we say, okay, here's the bullets, they're numbered. Here we answer on the bullets specifically. And if we, from the hearing, get something else that's not been raised by the Auditor General, we can add it as further points. I think that will be much clearer for us working through this on our own, preparing this, and also for people attending this meeting.
Yes, please. I want us to refocus on the substance before us. Comrade Shilwane is suggesting that C and D should be removed and be replaced. Now, I wanted her to talk to that replacement so that we can then respond to it. Yeah, let us speak first, and then all of us will have our.
Thank you, Chair. I wanted to say that we should say when we remove C and D, we stay with A and B. That is in terms of the report. But we say in B, the accounting officer of the relevant department must take disciplinary or legal action against designated employees or others who did not comply with the relevant policies and initiate processes to recover funds misused where applicable. I thought maybe it will then talk to the findings.
Right, there we are. Comrade Mala?
Just to perhaps amplify what we suggest, I think we can say the accounting officers of the relevant departments must take disciplinary action and or legal action against implicated employees and other persons, in case maybe there are companies that contravene relevant legislation policies. And initiate processes to recover funds misused where applicable. I think that is relevant.
Instead of designated, it's implicated.
Yeah, Chairperson, thank you very much. No, I have no problem with those suggestions. They're good suggestions. I just want to speak to C and D. We didn't see a forensic audit report. Right? But we are aware, all of us around this table, that there was a report. Now, is it germane to the whole investigation of the Dentu Gateway that report be made public at some stage or the other? And I'm asking this question to us. Because I feel, yes, it is. We haven't seen the report, but the report is germane to this entire N2 debacle that took place. And maybe we should be saying that we understand that there was a report, and we want that report to be made public. We urge that, you know, the report as part of our recommendation, instead of ignoring it completely.
No, listen to this. I really would not want us to. Comrades, please, let's do this. It's a minor point. Some of the things that the Auditor General has written about in his report are based on that forensic audit report. And as you correctly point out, from a legal point of view, we cannot say we've seen that report and use it as a basis for making recommendations. And I think that was the understanding that we had when we asked for permission. And we, subsequent to our hearing and the sentiment that you expressed, wrote to the City of Cape Town requesting or demanding that the report should be made public. It was on the agenda of Council for the 26th of October. Then it was removed, and they wrote back to us to say it is now on the agenda of Council for the 26th of November, after which a decision will be taken on whether to make it public or not. But my understanding of B is that in a condensed way, it covers everything, because what it says is that the accounting officer of the relevant department must take disciplinary or legal action against implicated employees or others who did not comply with relevant policies and initiate processes to recover funds misused where applicable. Now, it captures the wide net. It covers everyone and everything without going to specifics, because the actual report does not go to specifics. If you check on page 15, 6.7.1A, it talks to the tender processes and this and that and this not having been complied with and all. This is a summation of what you may find in the forensic report, because it is very highly detailed. So I'll suggest that we have A and B as our recommendations with the adjustments that have been made. Can we live with that? Matladi?
I agree with you that we can leave the two. But I have a major problem of saying, where do we have a measure to correct the practice of departments and entities refusing to publicize the report, the forensic report, like this one? I'm sure I'm protected. I've been quiet when people talk. Like this one, we were talking about 3 years ever since it was released, but it was not given to the public. So if we leave it here, if we can agree, what is our way of coming up with this thing to reprimand them, to say that we are aware that there is this report that we are not giving out? Are we allowing them to do this? They've got this report, it's bad, now they're hiding it. And then I know, even where I'm coming from in the provincial legislature, forensic reports are very difficult to come out. So if we leave out this recommendation, you can just tell me, when will we address it and how? Because it is a very, very important issue, the problem.
Yes, very well. I think
what Matlal is saying is that somehow in our formulation, we need to talk to the fact that there is a forensic audit report which has not been made public, which could actually have assisted us. If it was made public, we could have actually been able to extensively and intensively go into it and make very pointed recommendations. But we don't have it. As I was saying, it was supposed to be in the council agenda for the 26th of October. It is now going to be on the 26th of November. Right. Let me hear Detroit. I'll come to you, and then Steele, Mangena, and then...
Chairman, when I read through this, it was a mixed feeling, because with some of the things I can live with the changes as we've made, certainly we can make some recommendations. But this work that we've done on this hearing, on this subject, I must ask myself the question, did we really do our work? Are we completed on this? I think we have not completed this. We've not completed this process, because there's a lot of questions hanging in the air around a lot of things here. On these recommendations that we... Now, let's forget for a moment about the forensic report part. On A and B, we're talking about the accounting officers ensure, and that the accounting officers of the relevant departments must take disciplinary action. Now, we don't even know if these accounting officers are part of it, part of the problem, because we haven't ascertained that. We're not certain what happened here. I'm not certain, because we've had the City of Cape Town, and we've had a meeting, and the meeting was short, and we had only 2 hours or 3 hours for it. And in my mind, we have not completed our work on this. So we can draw up, in my mind, a clear conscience. We can draw up recommendations here, but the work is not completed.
No. I think, Honorable Detroit, when we write our recommendations, there is somebody who is responsible for running a department. That's the accounting officer. Whether that accounting officer, unless you see there is specific evidence in front of us that this person is implicated, then we may have to change our recommendations. But if it is purely a matter of speculation, it becomes problematic, because you can suspect anybody and everybody, right up to the minister. So who will you send a report to? You won't send it to anybody. So, but if the forensic report was out, it will assist us to know whether are we recommending to the culprit if we say the accounting officer must take action or not. So at this stage, our legal obligation is to refer these recommendations to the accounting officer, and it is him or her who must take action. Fortunately, our recommendations first go to the minister. In the case of Cape Town, I suppose we'll go to the mayor. So if there is a sense in which the accounting officer is viewed by the executing authority to have been part of the problem, then they will devise means and ways of attending to it. And anyway, we are saying anybody and everybody who is implicated, it could be the accounting officer, it could be anybody, they must be dealt with.
Now, I want to support Ms. Shawani that, and seconded by you, that we stay with A and B. B changed as it has been suggested. That C and D come out. There's no place in this report for this forensic audit, and certainly D is a mystery. D is a mystery. I'm not finished, Chair. What legal opinion? I have no idea what you're talking about in paragraph D. So I want to support the proposal that forensic audit come out. It's the business of the City of Cape Town. They do what they like with it. They will issue it to the public when they wish it. We were told that this is a highly secret report. We must not make any mention of it. When we go to the hearings, we mustn't discuss it. It's for background information. It's highly sensitive. And then suddenly there appears no resolution.
But Comrade Roy, we already agreed on that one. All agreed, all of us, including Malala.
I am
Mr. Oh, except you. Oh, okay.
Thanks, Chair. I just, through you, please, like to address our legal advisor. If he's still here, I can't see him. Oh, there he is. Good. Just a technical question first, Chair. The accounting officer of the relevant departments, does that include the municipality in the word department, or do we need to say and City of Cape Town? Otherwise, there could be a legal loophole that whereby the municipality does in fact not fall within the ambit of this all-encompassing clause that you are referring to. So do we need to put in the relevant departments and municipality City of Cape Town, or and City of Cape Town? That's the first question, Chair. And then secondly, and I take, you know, Comrade Andy's point about point C and D, I still think, though, that there's some merit in at least noting that the committee is aware of the existence of a private report. Not as D, but as a... as a recommendation, but just, again, as a note, that we note the existence of an additional private forensic investigation.
I think that's the point Matlari is making, that we know there is a forensic report that has not been made public, and we did challenge the City of Cape Town during the hearing that why are they not making it public 3 years down the line? So without it being a recommendation, or we do however have to say, we however do note that there is a forensic report that has not been made public, that we want it to be made public. I mean, stop it. Yes,
initially when I raised my hand, it was precisely on this issue. I don't know in which world do I live. Maybe I'm in some African country that I don't know, but in South Africa, there is Promotion of Access to Information Act. Any single person who seeks to acquire a forensic report or whatever happens anyway can approach the municipality to get that. And in fact, if they refuse, you can go to a court
in fact, even court can apportion cost to them if they've been further refusing to release that report. It is not the duty of SCOPA to be going around asking for people to release reports. I think it's wrong. Any South African who needs the report, whether it's DA or ANC or the chairperson, in fact, we got it. There's no need for us to be writing resolutions about releasing it. We've seen it. We've been recommended on how to handle issues. I don't know whether we're playing some politics here.
All right. Comrade Malali, during the hearing, this committee made a call that that report should be made public. Wanted to know when. That's when they told us it will be.
This committee did no such thing. Individuals may have. This committee did not, as a committee, make that call.
Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. The point. Please. Let's not make a mountain out of a molehill. The fact of the matter is, otherwise the city of Cape Town will not be writing to us about when they are going to have this in their council meeting if it did not arise from our hearing where we wanted to. Yes, that's the point I'm making, that it arose in the hearing that why are we having a report that is 3 years old which has not yet been made public? So I am not sure where the problem is. There's absolutely no problem around that. Safe to say that my understanding is that after the 26th, if they've taken any decision, they'll write back to me to say, no, this is what we have decided. Because it arose from the hearing we had with them. With an interest in saying you have a report, when are you going to make it public? And the officials could not tell because it's a political decision that must be taken by council. So, whilst you're correct from a legal point of view, that's how it should happen. But in the context of this particular report, we did make inquiries during the hearing, but why is it not yet public 3 years down the line? And that was it. So I don't want us to belabor the point, because if there was any point of serious discussion, it would have been C and D. But we have agreed on that no, let's take them out and condense them in B. So, you did not agree with that? Oh, okay.
No, Chair, there is still dispute as to whether, in fact, we should mention the forensic audit report at all, number one, and number two, D makes absolutely no sense. I do not know what legal opinion is being referred to. There have been hundreds of legal opinions. So D is nonsensical. And there is not agreement that we should mention the forensic
audit report. Just step cool it. C and D have been taken out. So there is no D to refer to. They've already been taken out. We have A and B only. Right. Okay. Now it's fine. Let's whether we mention the forensic report here or we don't, it cuts no cheese and opens no heavens, really. Because at the end of the day, the municipality will take a decision. And I think what Matlari was saying about forensic report, I mean, I got this from KZN about, and even agriculture, you have forensic reports that were not made public. No. I'm just trying to say that the issue of forensic reports and their availability to the public, it's a challenge that we have in our body politic generally. So let's not go to trenches around this. Much as God are not substantive.
No, the conclusion thereof, Chair, because you can't say, because there is this different views, and then we end up just leaving it. We should arrive at a conclusion,
yes.
Whether in my favor or against me, but we should arrive at a particular conclusion.
All right.
Order, Chair.
I agree that...
I think colleagues are disrespecting the Chair. I think this meeting is run by the Chair. That's why all of us are quiet here, waiting for him to recognize us. Otherwise, it will be anarchy. I can just speak as I wish, because I've got something superating in my head. That's wrong.
All right. Okay.
Jay, you had recognized me before the advocate came.
No, he's not referring to you.
Yeah.
Speaking in general terms.
Yeah, no, I know. No, I know that he's not. He's my good friend. I want to support the proposal that we put a C, which says we note that there was a forensic report that was drafted or drawn up, and we urge the City of Cape Town to make that report public. Because, Chair, and in motivation and seconding your proposal, the fact that that report is before the City of Cape Town now as an agenda item arises directly out of SCOPA, because you raised it. And they told us we can't take that decision, we will take it back to our political functionaries. And it is there. So I don't see any harm in us urging that forensic report be made public. We urge. That's all. We're not going into the details of the forensic report. So I want to support your proposal, Chair, as a C.
I think the proposal is not a bad proposal, that we urge the municipality to release the report. I don't think we are now really taking that responsibility.
No.
Exactly. My decision, my view was that we can't take a decision and say, you know, micromanaging the municipality.
No. Wouldn't do that. I mean, even if that report comes out, even if that report comes out, it will be SCOPA at the municipal level that is going to deal with it. And because its main focus is on what happened in the city of Cape Town. So it is we are not saying release the report to us so that we can use it. But we are merely saying, to the extent that in relation to this project, it took the three spheres of government together, and it formed the basis of some of the findings of the AG. That is made public, or they should make it available so that it can be utilized. Shulan.
I wanted to raise my view in regard with that we say we will know that there's a report that is not yet publicized. We just want to be cautioned as SCOPA that we don't find ourselves overlapping, wanting to do the work of the portfolio committee on human settlement. I just wanted to raise that issue, that we shouldn't find ourselves that we wanting to do our work more than the other portfolio committee that really deals with the Department of Human Settlement.
The forensic audit is more about money than performance. So if it is related to the national department or provincial department, that report would most perfectly certainly fall within the public accounts committee. But I do take the point, and I think more than any other committee in parliament, we are the most cautious committee in terms of not straying into other people's terrain than we've seen in the last few weeks, where portfolio committees have been dealing with financial matters arising out of annual reports without even referring them to us. So, but I think that does not mean that we should stray into other people's terrain. It doesn't. Yes,
can you please summarize what we've decided?
Right. Okay, let me check with the advocate. Yes, advocate.
Thanks. Sorry, Chair. Just before you summarize, because I thought this was part of the section we're dealing with on the resolution, there was a question that was directed at me from Mr. Steele about the formulation of B, accounting officers of the relevant departments, and whether that's wide enough to include the provincial and municipality. I think this question has been answered by the committee itself. I mean, we don't want to veer off our mandate as SCOPA. So when it comes to provinces and to municipalities, of course, SCOPA can only their urge, as the committee now mentions. Is, I mean, we can make a recommendation towards the DG of the Department of Human Settlement. So that would, in a lighter note, I would say it's sufficiently vague to remain as it is. But if one wants to be specific, then one should actually look at something like the, not the relevant department, but the Department of Human Settlement, and urge the province and municipality to make sure that similar steps are taken in according to their mandate. Something in that line. Thanks.
All right. I think his main question was, in the current formulation, does it also cover the municipality of Cape Town? It does. Yeah, I think that was his concern, that we my understanding was the accounting officer of the relevant department and the city of Cape Town. So that the city of Cape Town is mentioned, because it's not a department.
See, in that case, is it correct for SCOPA to make a question then for me? Is it correct for SCOPA to make a recommendation towards the accounting officer of the city of Cape Town? I mean, certainly one can make, one doesn't want to limit the authority less than it's stated than it, what it's in the constitution it is, but one must just maybe stop and think about it. The city of Cape Town has a relationship or has an oversight responsibility. I mean, at municipal level, it is a bit of a fuzzy distinction between executive and legislative function. And the oversight function's there. But the responsibility certainly lies there. And if there should be further oversight over the performance of executive functions, the constitution there sets out that the provincial MECs may intervene. And depending on the level of intervention, the NCOP may approve or disapprove or play a role. I'm not going to go into all the details now, but let me turn the table upside down, Honourable Chair, and say, how would national government and national legislature feel if a province or a municipality make a recommendation to say, do this, we recommend that you take action? One will look at them and say, well, thank you very much, but I mean, we understand what you mean. You can't recommend in this. Remember, we are talking about responsive government. Whatever resolution comes out of Parliament, what is expected is a response. We're not micromanaging executive authority. We're saying, this is our view, respond to this, because that's the sort of the thread that runs through the Constitution. So what is expected is for the executive to come back and to say, yes, we followed your recommendation, or we understand what you mean, but for these reasons we have taken other types of action and so on. Now, if we we take that model and we bring it down to the provincial and other spheres, the local sphere of government, one must look at the implications and say, is this what is SCOPA's role, to say to a municipality or even a provincial legislature, we recommend that you do this and we want you to report back to us to say these are the actions you have taken. I mean, from where I'm sitting now, maybe I need more time to consider it, but certainly from where I'm sitting now, I would think that it's the provincial legislature's fundamental task to make such a recommendation and get a response from the provincial department, and then from the municipality to have that debate within their council and to whatever system they have there, and as I say, I'm not too familiar with that, to resolve it there. So I would certainly suggest to look at it.
No, I think the context here, advocate, is that where the hearing, where the municipality, the province, and national were present, because the project we're talking about had the three, as you know, all of them involved at the same time. So in the course of our deliberation, there were certain actions taken at various levels. And so our resolution, therefore, cannot isolate the other two who were part of the hearing, because they all came together and were discussing the same issue. And the issues are linked to all of them, because they were all working together. So the question here, even with the national department, is not that we are instructing them to do anything, and to say arising out of our interaction with you, this is what we recommend. This is what we've seen, and this is what we think needs to happen. If they have anything better to do or different, then it will be up to them in terms of my understanding of the separation of powers between the executive and the legislature, and between national, province, and also local. So I think the point that you wanted to check was whether having put it the way we did, if it goes out, the city of Cape Town might not say, this has nothing to do with us. It only talks to departments and not us as a municipality. But I hear you. I think what we need to do is to add the municipality specifically. Because the accounting officers of the relevant departments.
I would say
that the relevant departments and the city of Cape Town must aid the city. Should.
Are we recommending that they
recommend remove the mask.
Chairman, yes, I think there was 90 or 100 million or more or less 90 million was lost through the fact that things are changing and all those things. But now, maybe I'm new, but now how can we say who's got to account for that? Who's going to explain how it happened? Because the city said they received orders. So they're now off the hook, it seems. But it doesn't satisfy me, because how can we tell Parliament that 100 million was lost and we can't tell them what happened? Because we don't know what happened. Now it's a difficult situation, because you've got the three spheres of government intertwined in this process. And So, who's going to take responsibility for that? The one is shifting the blame to the other one, and we don't know.
No. You see, Honorable Detroit, if you approach it from that angle, it would mean that we must start an investigation ourselves and then determine who the culprits are before we make a recommendation. Even the Auditor General does not give us names of persons who did what who did. That's why I would say the accounting officers must take disciplinary or legal action against implicated individuals. So they would know who were implicated. It's not for us to know who was implicated for them to act. So I think that at the level of implementation, that's when they'll go to details and determine who is to be charged and who is to be disciplined. Right. Can we move to quality of units at Joe Slovo Phase 1? Right? Yes, sir.
I don't see much here, except that having read the recommendation, the conclusion becomes unnecessary.
Let's give you the recommendations first. If we're all agreed with the recommendations, then we'll come to the conclusion. Are we agreed with the recommendation? The last page. A and B.
Yeah.
They were not from... Oh. Okay, everyone.
Chairman.
Right? No, let's deal with the recommendation first. Yeah.
The second bullet says, that's under paragraph 4, compliance with registration and inspection procedures ranging from the National Building Regulations to the National Home Builders Registration Council, NHBRC. construction regulations, inspection by local authorities and professional occupied surveys could not be verified. Now,
No, make your point.
Now, the point is, the NHBRC, did they appear before us?
But this is from the agency.
Yes.
They're filing from the agency.
So?
Now, we go to the recommendations on the next page. Because what you are reading is what the Auditor General found. Those are his findings. So based on those findings, what are our recommendations? So on the next page, you have A and B. Now, let's react to A and B. Honorable Singh?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I was not present when this committee did an inspection in loco. But my understanding of the matter was that when we had public hearings, we
Can I check with you?
Yeah.
So with A and B, you're fine.
Yeah,
you
A and B
is something.
Yeah, I just want to add. Yeah. Okay. And I'm just putting it to the committee that this committee went out. Something was said at a meeting. We saw something on television that night, which was different from what was said at the meeting. The committee went to the meeting. I was not there. Right? But you made certain findings of your own. Now, isn't that material to what this committee should be reporting? That you were misled, or whatever the words you want to use, at the hearing, only to find that something else happened on the ground?
Yeah, well, the same evening we saw pictures that told a different story from what we were told. And subsequently we went to Joe Slovo and found that indeed there were problems in terms of the physical structure. And we, of course, cried foul. But I subsequently had a meeting with the DG, who gave me documentation to prove that indeed repairs had been done from the roof to the physical cracks that were there. I want you to listen. So if you now, what the implication of what we found is that the weakness in the quality of the structure are such that whatever was repaired, something else cracked. We subsequently made a follow up with the residents. And they concurred that yes, the roof were repaired, but that they were leaking worse than before they were repaired. That some of the cracked walls were repaired. They put glue between the cracks, but well, when they were found cracks. So what that tells you is that the quality of the houses is very, very poor. Not so much that it was incorrect that repairs were done. Repairs were done, but still, we found the kind of things that we found there, which is actually worse than if they were not repaired, because then you would say, if they are repaired, everything will be fine. But repairs were done. But we found fallen walls there, we found cracked walls, we found, of course, I understand that the windows and the doors had not been corrected. The issue around dampness had not been fixed. So we therefore cannot put it here in that context. That's how we viewed it. But like I said, I got thick documents from the people who did the fixing, indicating which parts they fixed and signing off and all that kind of stuff. So what it talks to, I think it talks especially to point B. Yes.
Thank you very much. I think this thing we are now repeating it on several occasions. The issues that you are explaining here, Chairperson, it does not fall within this committee. It's something outside the committee. Because the work of the committee, we went to the public hearing, we undergo our inspection in loco of the whole thing, we came back. Things now that you are talking about, unless I'm the only person, I don't know of. And then you wanted them to become pieces of the committee.
I think what you should have been done, Chairperson, upon whatever effort you have initiated, which you are entitled to, you should have been coming back to us to say, subsequent to our visit, this is what now emerging. What do we do? Now you are putting things that you wanted them to become part of the resolution, while you are not part of us. And I guess you need immediately to retreat from that statement. And then our position is still where we are together. And then you will then introduce new matter if you wanted to. The point that was raised by an honorable member here was to say the steps that are known to all of us as a committee member are the ones that he was talking about. What you are raising is only you. If you have got individuals that knows with you, you have, you know, hidden, you have closed us outside the whole thing. I wanted us to rectify that particular omission.
I think we are on the same page. The chair was not greatly, I wasn't correct at all, was clarifying that, in fact, the observations perhaps that we made do not tamper with our resolution at all. The resolution is fine as it is, and I think perhaps as we work with the portfolio committee on human settlements, they must monitor exactly what the officials are doing in relation to the correction of the wrongs that were done in this project. And I may not really find fault. I know that when I read the rules, all of you honorable members are entitled to engage in investigations individually and collectively about anything. In fact, anything. Now the chair is not wrong in that sense, and I think also my friend thinks not wrong to raise the issues that when they made inspections, they noticed that certain things are not in order and so on. And that makes it more serious for us to engage closely with the portfolio committee to start being on the neck of the officials doing their work.
You are timelessly warned again not to poach on the work of portfolio committees. But on this particular issue, let Mr. Singh rest assured there is no need to put in this resolution that the DG liked Parliament. That is subsequent information, as indicated by the chair, indicates that it was not the case, so therefore there is no need to put in the resolution any reference to him lying to Parliament. He did not do so.
Chairperson, to me, I still believe that he lied to the committee, because he did not say the bone of contention here is not whether repairs were done or not. It is the conditions under which the people living in these houses are, which the DDG said they were all right because he or she had been there. That was what was said in the committee, that everything has been taken care of. The problems that were there are now covered. But when you go tomorrow on television, it's a different thing. If there could have been a gap of a week or a month, we would say maybe the cracks increased during that time. Now, if it is today, you are telling me that everything is okay, but tomorrow on television, people are there and I see the cracks, that is a lie. That is the bone of contention for it. We are not talking about whether repairs were done and they made the situation worse. We are talking about the conditions under which our people were living. And we found that they were contrary to the report in the previous day. So we must be able to look into the context. Let us not protect anybody. Let us do the work of SCOPA in order to correct them.
All right, can we, honorable thing? You are all from KZN, so things deal.
The other KZN, thank you, Chair. These two recommendations, A and B, speak to the design and construction. And that is quite correctly what we addressed the DG on. Defects in design and construction. We also identified at our site visit that there were problems with maintenance and ongoing repairs, for which the DG is not responsible. That was, in fact,
the maintenance company's responsibility, and that was what the residents were complaining about specifically, that they weren't getting their complaints attended to. Now, if we need to address that issue, following from our inspection, that there were problems of an ongoing nature with maintenance and repairs, I believe that needs to be an item C. But whether that is appropriate for this committee to do, that I'm not sure of. So I would prefer to say, let's just leave it as A and B, as we have here.
Can we tie this down, please? Here's the situation. After the hearing, we went there, or took a decision as a committee to go and have a look, inspired by what we saw on TV that same evening, because it was in stark contrast with what we had heard. So, don't be organized, Kumbis, they took us there with the portfolio committee. And what we saw contradicted what the DG had said. And we said so to the SABC, so they broadcast it. After that, the DG phoned me. Say, no, but we did not lie to you. And that's how I then came to contact with him, and he presented evidence that, no, these are the things that have been corrected. Now, as a committee since then, we had not discussed the N2 gateway. We're only discussing it today. And so there could have been no forum wherein I could have given you the information that, no, by the way, what we saw there did not represent a deliberate misleading of Parliament. It actually represents the fact that there are serious problems in the quality of those houses. And obviously, the DG, like most, if not any senior official, will get a report, will get documents in his office that say this is corrected. And unless he sends somebody to inspect or he goes there physically, he would act on the basis of what is on the paper. So I'm merely saying that in relation to what Honorable Singh had raised, it was important to give context and then to give information as it had come to me. They know there was no intention, there was no deliberate desire to mislead us. And even the residents as well, because after he had given me those things, we had to check with them. Is this so? And they confirmed, no, repairs have been done. So the cracks that you see are just new cracks. Because, I mean, here you have houses that have been standing for 3 or 4 years and they're just cracking all over. So it talks more to the quality or lack thereof of those houses. Honorable Singh?
Chairperson, yeah, thank you very much. No, we can agree on A and B. You see, this committee heard evidence. In the beginning we said we heard evidence, but this committee also undertook a site inspection. And I think maybe in the conclusion, we've got to say, because it was part of the work of the committee to go on a site inspection, which is rather unusual for SOPA. Okay, Abalone we did after that. But I think you've got to mention in your report, probably in the conclusion, that the committee also undertook a site inspection, and noted that the repairs were not satisfactorily completed, or something like that. But you've got to say at least two lines about your site visit and what you found at that time. Then it completes the report and the work of the committee.
Right? Can we move to five, conclusion? I think Honorable Singh was saying maybe in the conclusion that is what we need to say. Malale, you were saying something about conclusion before I stopped you.
I think I agree with what Singh says in terms of inclusion of the aspect business inspections. But if you read the conclusion, it is repetitive of all the things that were said in the recommendations and does not add any new thing. It is, in my view, just political detail, really. Because we have noted what the findings were, we have noted what the discoveries the committee had done, and we have made specific recommendations that we expect departments to implement. And I think, in my view, therefore, the conclusion is not necessary.
right, the suggestion by Honorable Singh that we put a liner or two around the fact that subsequent to the hearing committee undertook a site visit, and these are the things that we found. Right? Honorable Steele?
Thank you, Chair. I'm quite happy to support the Honorable Singh's proposal, but I think it should maybe be specifically linked to the point about the quality of the drug server unit. But where it happens, I'm not too concerned. But, Chair, I do have an alternative conclusion which I have prepared, which I would like to present before the committee.
And then maybe what Mr. Singer said comes into the conclusion, but we need to look at that, how you formulate that.
I'm happy to
wait in great anticipation to see what Mr. Steele has prepared.
Well, the conclusion as it stands before you, it's taken out and it's decided, and we add what Honorable Singh has suggested. Right, so that is what we add. But then Honorable Steele says he has a conclusion. Do we all have copies?
Chair, I don't have that facility. I have prepared one for you, so if the Secretariat, if the Honourable Ainslie wants a copy in front of him, then can we ask the Secretariat to make copies, please?
I
guarantee
a copy.
No, they don't, not yet.
Let's listen attentively because we don't have copies of all of us.
It is similar but significantly different to what appears here in this draft. Conclusions. Based on the hearings conducted with officials from the national, provincial and municipal spheres of government, it is clear that the project suffered from poor or inadequate planning from the outset. Officials from all spheres report to having been placed under considerable political pressure to deliver on what was seen as a priority project for government. In order to bring closure to the investigation and to resolve outstanding questions surrounding the urgency with which the project was originally undertaken, it is necessary that the political leadership of the three spheres of government from the relevant time period be given the opportunity to present their version of the initial planning and decision-making phase of the project to the committee. Chair, I also have a second paragraph which I think has now become redundant based on our previous discussion. I'll read it through, but I would then almost immediately withdraw it. It is also of concern to SCOPA that problems and irregularities identified in the tendering process for the original contract have not been addressed through appropriate disciplinary proceedings, nor that the wasteful expenditure incurred has been recovered. I think we have now dealt with that in terms of the resolutions around the forensic findings. So that paragraph, I think, is of no addition. But my first paragraph, Chair, I believe, does substantially change and add to the conclusion here. I take the Honourable Member's earlier comment that this, as it stands, doesn't add anything to what we've already heard. I believe that my comment about bringing closure to the matter does actually add some merit to what we have looked at.
Comrade Bono, I want you to close this matter for us.
As Congress is dead, to my understanding, you know, Red Bull never has run the They're always two places. Yeah, we more than technically copying the race or the owners of Red Bull is trying to do it. But
we are in sickness, the entire ocean is given a system of energy. So I feel it's very striking for us. But I don't want to ask you.
All right, thank you, comrade. All right, let's react to the suggestion from Honorable Steve.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Now I think we should forget about that one of you. And then may I write what Honorable Singh has said and add one or two, three words onto that. That one is really, as Honorable Bonomi is saying, it's also confusing me worse now, more than this one. But what Honorable Singh has said, I think it carries water. Thank you.
Comrade Roy.
No, I don't want to agree with my colleague, Honorable Mangena, that this conclusion from Mr. Steele adds no value whatsoever to our resolution. It's full of value judgments. It's full of emotion. There was no political pressure. There may have been political guidance, political challenges, but pressure, no. The final sentence in the first paragraph, really, that the spheres of government must come and give their own version. We are not an investigative arm of anybody. What does this entails? A commission of inquiry. SCOPA must now have a commission of inquiry into what has already been reported, by the way. And it adds no value, Chair. I want to agree that also the final paragraph is redundant. Mr. Steele agrees with that, so that is redundant. And really, I think that the first conclusion must come out. We must not accept this conclusion. We must look at, and I have yet to see exactly what Mr. Singh has in mind. Let us look at what Mr. Singh has in mind. But from the sound of it, it doesn't sound too bad. But definitely I would not be able to support any single paragraph in this conclusion proposed by Mr. Steele.
Honorable Singh, can you write that paragraph on the site visit? I say, can you write? I know I don't want you to speak. Please, just in the meantime, just do it whilst we off. Can you assist in terms of writing? No, I want writing. I don't want to talk.
Yeah, but say, how do you allow Honorable Singh to write while he was not there?
No. It's talking about, he wanted to put a paragraph on the site visit. The fact that we're a site visit and this is what we found.
No.
I think don't complicate things. Right, Honorable Singh. We are going to correct it anyway.
Think I should object to your point, that one, because I feel written.
Okay, push. But after him, I was going to point to you. No, I was. I mean. All right. Honorable Malale.
I'm saying this in good spirit because I'm going to use Mr. Steele's conclusion for my speech in the House. You see, resolutions must be different from speeches. But we need to say what we need to be implemented by the executive. Now, what we're going to say in the House, we're going to say many things. Your perspective in organization on one thing, you know. So I think we need to separate the two. And then agree that Sin would just indicate that clause which he says must be added. It doesn't have to have been there. He is summarizing the perspective of the House as we agree that there has been an inspection. And these are the challenges that we notice on in a constructive way.
All right, Hosh.
Thanks, Chairperson.
I wanted it to be the last.
No, it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be. Thank you, Chairperson. I'm not for or against any of them. I'm just putting the one that I thought also should be considered. Amending what do we. Of course, I agree that the second paragraph of the current conclusion should be removed completely. But then my amendment, Chairperson, is read as follows. Based on the two hearing sessions of the committee with the Department of National Housing Settlement, whatever you call it, provincial, local government and housing, and the city of Cape Town, including the inspection in loco at the site, had regarding the N2 gateway project, the committee can fairly, therefore you conclude with the entire on paragraph one. You take it in totality with the addition of what has just added on top. I guess the paragraph one, Chairperson, with the amendment that I'm forwarding, it gives, you know, a fair judgment and then conclusory statement of our observations of the committee. Thank you.
Chairman, I read it correctly. Honorable Tobijani has now suggested that he wants this in the conclusion, that the project was not properly planned from its inception, that the administrators in all three spheres of government either acted out of incompetence and through that might have misled cabinet into approving and releasing funding for this project. Now that is also a valid judgment, but I still say that the role that the executive and the administrators played in the decision making need to be clarified beyond all doubts, and we haven't done that. I still say that the process of the SCOPA hearing is inconclusive. So I cannot see how at least 100 million rand was lost, and we have not called everybody before SCOPA.
Right.
I cannot see that.
Is there something new? I mean, we really need to conclude. Let me give Chula the hand up, and then I'll give Comrade Roy, I'll give Honorable Steele, and then we must come to a conclusion.
Thank you, Chair. I've been covered, but by what Honorable Detroit has just added onto the conclusion, which was read by Honorable Tobijan. I'm covered. I'm bailing, because it's the same of what I wanted to suggest. But I'm of the opinion that is different on the point. I don't know if I've heard very well Honorable Dutot when he say it seems as if we would want to reopen again for a hearing. That's something that I'm different. It's a different view. But in terms of the conclusion, I'm covered too.
I would get agreed that the conclusion as it is comes out that we replace the conclusion with something that Mr. Steele and Saki are busy drafting. I thought we'd agreed on that. Mr. Singh and Saki are drafting. And we're waiting for that draft. Let's look at that draft, because I believe that we will be more than satisfied with that. But I thought we'd agree that this conclusion comes out. Mr. Bonham agrees with me. We are waiting for a draft from Mr. Singh.
Okay. Honorable Steele.
Chair, thank you. I would like to just read, if I could, as a new matter, if all the members of the committee are in a position to listen.
What is the new matter that you want to read?
I would like to remind the members of the committee of a letter written from the Office of the City Manager on the 28th of August from City of Cape Town, requesting documentation. This is what the City Manager had to say. We have no record of a letter or memorandum that was sent to the M3, in other words, the ministers and the mayor, expressing the officials' concerns that 22,000 dwellings could not be built within a period of 6 months. We have no record of a letter or memorandum. So the City Manager is conceding that they have no documentary evidence to prove that they were instructed to build 22,000 dwellings in 6 months. We can, however, and these are his words, confirm that the M3 were in fact advised by officials of the city at a meeting of the M3 that the above stated deadline could not be met. They were advised. there was a verbal advice given, and that the N2 gateway should be a phased implementation, with each phase being commenced as funding, statutory approvals and land become available. Now, Chair, if we are looking as SCOPA to account for the way that public funds have been used, this is what the officials are saying, that they gave verbal advice which was not heeded. If that verbal advice was given and it was not heeded, then we as SCOPA have an obligation to find out why. And the people who were involved were the mayor, the provincial minister, and the national minister at the time. My suggestion, therefore, is that in order to achieve closure, we need to allow those three public officials the opportunity to clarify this matter. Were the officials responded to at that meeting in a way which says, we have to continue because this is the priority project? And that is all that my conclusion says, that we recognize that there was pressure to conclude this as a priority project, and that in order to bring closure to our investigation, we allow the political leadership to give their version of this assertion. That is what my motion is proposing, and I would hope that this committee would recognize that it is necessary that we should address that matter. And yes, I will address it in a speech to the House, but we are SCOPA also need to...
All right, okay, that's fine. I think, comrades, we have all had our say. Can we... I thought initially we had all agreed that the conclusion that is in this draft, we take it out. Right? I thought that was our understanding. And that the Honorable Singh will draft a paragraph on the site visit. On the site visit. Then Honorable Steele then introduced a conclusion, and which to which I think we need to take a decision in terms of what we include. Fortunately, it helped us. The last paragraph is there is no, it's redundant, let's take it out. So we have one paragraph to deal with. I think if you look at the first sentence of that paragraph, it is more or less, in fact, it is the same as the first paragraph in the draft resolution. It is the same. Based on the hearing, this and that, it is clear that the project suffered from poor or inadequate planning. The committee can fairly conclude that the project was poorly planned from inception. So, it's the same thing. So, if we rejected this one in the draft, I don't see how we would take that one from you, Honorable Steele. I'm just saying, from a purely factual point of view, that is how I'm seeing it.
Chairman, just a moment. I think the reason that we all decided on our own why we would take the original one out was that in this first paragraph of the conclusion, the administrators are fingered, and it's in such a way that it may be subjective.
Can I just finish, Honorable Detroit? Can I just finish? I still maintain that the first sentence in Honorable Steele's conclusion is the same in substance with the first sentence in the first paragraph. The second sentence in his paragraph. It talks about political pressure to deliver on what was seen as a priority government project. Let me just deal with that paragraph. The source of information on the political pressure so far come from a letter from the city of Cape Town. That is our only source of evidence. And whether that is correct or not, I think it is something that we cannot, at this point, be able to verify or establish. Now, the question of the supposed agency with which the executive had viewed or looked at the implementation of the project, if you put tight time frame, that act alone is not illegal or criminal. So it cannot be a basis of laying a charge against the executive that you gave them 6 months instead of 12 months, or you gave them 24 months instead of 48 months. I think my observation, Honorable Steele, is that the conclusion that you have made is the same as the conclusion that we have in the draft, that it makes value judgment and makes a political statement. The observations that are made in that paragraph are contained in pieces and pieces in throughout the report. The question of poor planning, the question of time frames, and all that, they are contained there. And yet, I think what is crux for me in my observation is the somewhat illegal processes that took place during implementation, which led to irregular payments, which led to wasteful expenditure, which led to poor quality of housing. Which processes were done administratively? So I think that in all honesty, and taking into account that these are not matters that are leaked throughout the report of the Auditor General about the role of the executive, we might be drawing it from a single source and ballooning it beyond the necessary shape. I think for me, in your conclusion, it is only this issue around the executive political leadership that I think it's new. Otherwise, the rest they emanate from parts of the report, and I really would want to urge with you that let's not go to the trenches around it. The recommendations that are littering this report talk to actions that we want to be taken to correct the wrongdoings that have been committed throughout the project. So it is not as if there is anything that is left off the hook in terms of what we've so far recommended. The areas of deficiency that have been identified are all taken care of throughout the recommendations that we've made. It is now up to the accounting officer to implement our recommendations. I have not as yet got a sense that in all the things that had happened, the wrong things that had happened throughout this process, the executive had hand. If they did, it should come out during the disciplinary process of officials. And then we can say they were involved. This is how they must be taken to task. Can we live with that?
No, Chair, I cannot accept any of your arguments. I'm sorry. I believe there is a question of political accountability, excuse me, that needs to be addressed. And I'm not suggesting that there's any criminal liability. I simply said in order to bring closure, to bring a proper understanding as to how these events unfolded. That's all that I'm suggesting. And I would like to know that this committee is either in favor of achieving political accountability or it isn't. And if it isn't, then I will need to register my protest and concern, and I would look to the rest of this committee to do the same.
All right.
Mr. Chairman, I concur with that.
No, that's fine. I think the point is made, and I take it that you seriously object to the exclusion of the recommendation that you have suggested. But I, from a very objective point of view, I do think that the question of why this company was appointed and not that one, why inspection was not done properly, cannot be answered by any minister. It's an administrative process. And that is what constitutes the gist of this report. So I would want us to leave it at that, but acknowledging that for once we have not been able to reach consensus on a particular point. Can we check Honorable Singh and what he has drafted?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, can I just speak to the other thing, or you close that debate now?
I close it.
Chairperson, I was only requested to do a conclusion, a proposed conclusion with respect to the inspection. Now, Sakhi's thing has gone off the screen here. Right? And that's what we're trying to tell him, that it disappeared from the screen. But and I'll read both to you.
Honorable Singh, be careful.
I'll read both. Oh, you think he's gone off the screen? Oh, no. Right. This is Saki's conclusion on the subsequent to the hearing. The committee undertook a site visit to the N2 gateway and established that whilst there is documented evidence of repairs being done to the units, there are serious deficiencies that continuously threaten the livelihood of the occupants, and this matter requires urgent attention. That's his. This is mine. The committee also undertook a site inspection of the N2 gateway housing project after the hearings, and on inspection noted that whilst there is documented evidence of repairs being done to the Joe Slover Phase 1 units, these were not satisfactorily completed. This matter requires urgent attention. I think the difference between Saki's and mine is that Saki gives a bit of nut flavor. I think if we have, as a committee, have to make a statement that there are serious deficiencies that continuously threaten the livelihood of the occupants, I don't think that's a fair statement. And then you'll get the headline saying, Scopa says these units are, you know, not safe. So I'm just putting those two scenarios. So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, please. I mean, for me, the difference there is favor and agent. Well, if you had seen those walls and what they mean to children, especially those who are in the first floor. Oh, okay.
On both, I don't know if maybe I'm too critical, but when you say the committee went there and you say while there is documented evidence, you did not find any documented evidence there during the inspection. We didn't. It's something else that came after that has been seen by the chairperson that the committee hasn't seen. So if we could be asked right now, my lady, what documented evidence did you get there? I don't have it. I don't know it. So that is where I feel that the statement might have addressed that issue on evidence separately from the visit to the project. Thank you, Chair.
Well, there are two things before I'll give Comrade Roy. Well, it's either you don't trust my word to it, that is one, or two, we can change that to say, while the department maintains that it has done 1, 2, 3, 4, this is what we found. Right. Okay. Can we say why the department maintains that it has done 1, 2, 3, 4, but this is what we found. Right, Chairman, before we close this point, 5-1 into Gateway, I want to know Honorable Steele said that he needs to know whether the committee take a view on the executive on the different levels to appear before SCOPA. I also objected against that view, and I concurred with him. I just want to know now, is it now, what is the view now of the committee? Do we have to stick our hands up to say who agrees with us,
or do we just do you just make a statement about this? Because I mean, other people have been silent on this.
No, I think Honorable Du Toit, I concluded on the matter. I as you observed, I would allow debate to unfold and get a sense of where more or less we are drifting, and or if it is a matter of principle and fact, restated emphatically. So I would say that the position that I'm concluding on is that the resolution, the paragraph that Honorable Singh has read, that is what will constitute our conclusion in the report.
I
mean that part on livelihood and what and the part on evidence appropriately amended. So that's where we leave it at. Right.
Chair, but we want to see another draft. Eh?
Comrade, it's I know that we had one item to deal with, and I would want us to, looking at time, the issue of abalone, defer it. There is lunch. Dombi had gone to check whether it is coming here or we're going to where lunch is. Dombi, what do we do? Is lunch coming here or we're going to lunch?
Lunch.
Second floor. Right, let's go up the second floor and...
Nothing more to that.
Nothing more. Thank you.